The Poor Wife of the Billionaire. Chapter 92. Rupert is a good guy. Stunned, Kathy pursed her lips and said reluctantly, "Maybe my eyes deceived me. Just now, the video that Rupert showed exposed not only the truth but also exposed Kathy's lie."
"Your eyes deceived you?"
Annabel sneered.
"What about your classmate then? Did his eyes deceive him too?"
"Perjury is a crime. The repercussions for it range from detention to..."
"Elle said my eyes deceived me,"
Kathy yelled and gave Rupert a look of distress.
"Rupert, please help me. Say something."
But Rupert shot Kathy an indifferent glance as he held Annabelle's hand.
"Let's go."
Under Kathy's envious gaze, Annabelle and Rupert walked out of the ward hand in hand and into the elevator. The elevator doors closed.
"Your performance today certainly exceeded my expectations."
Rupert looked at Annabelle sideways.
"I didn't expect you to come to the hospital and confront Nina."
Annabelle smiled.
"What? Do I look like a pushover to you?"
With a grin, Rupert looked back at her and shook his head.
"No. Thanks a lot for what you did just now."
After a little hesitation, Annabelle expressed her gratitude. She didn't expect Rupert to stand up for her and take the time to dig up such a crucial video that exposed Nina's lies. Even Anthony didn't find the video, yet Rupert did. He must have put in a lot of effort. It was impossible for her to not be moved by his gesture.
"But
I said I would protect you," Rupert reminded, his voice ringing clearly in Annabelle's ear. His tone was extremely magnetic and slightly seductive. Annabelle frowned and leaned to the side without realizing it. A bit of disappointment flashed across Rupert's eyes. Did she have to keep a distance from him? Did she have no feelings for him after what he had done for her? With his hands in his pockets, Rupert's expression turned cold. For a moment, the air in the elevator froze. Pursing her lips, Annabelle looked away from him. Just then, her phone rang. It was her grandfather. Annabelle quickly picked up.
"Grandpa, why are you calling me all of a sudden?"
On the other end, a burst of laughter boomed through the line.
"I saw what happened today on TV. Rupert is a good guy. He's protecting you."
Annabelle was slightly embarrassed. Her grandfather's voice was so loud that Rupert might have been able to hear everything. Annabelle's grandfather continued, "You've been spending time with him for almost a month now, haven't you? How are you two? When am I going to attend your wedding?"
"Grandpa, what are you talking about?"
Annabelle flushed.
"Come on.
This guy is talented, handsome, capable, and worthy of you." Annabelle's grandfather was very satisfied with Rupert.
"Grandpa, I have something else to do. I have to hang up now."
Hearing Rupert's vague chuckle, Annabelle quickly ended the call.
"Your grandfather has good taste, much better than yours," Rupert teased.
Annabelle rolled her eyes. "How can you be so narcissistic?" Ignoring the man beside her, she stared at the elevator's flashing numbers, hoping to get to the first floor as soon as possible. As soon as they walked out of the elevator, Rupert's phone rang. It was Bruce.
"Grandpa, what's up?"
Rupert answered, a subtle look on his face.
"I haven't seen you and Annabelle for days. When will you two visit me?"
Bruce asked through the phone speaker. Rupert nodded.
"I'll go visit you when I'm free."
"Don't wait until you're free. You're coming tonight. I'll ask the chef to prepare your favorite dishes." Without waiting for Rupert's reply, Bruce hung up. Rupert shook his head helplessly. He and his grandfather shared the same trait of being bossy.
"What's wrong?"
Annabelle asked curiously. Rupert turned his head and gave a tiny smile.
"My grandpa wanted us to have dinner with him this evening."
"Oh, I see." A faint grin spread on Annabelle's face. Both of their grandfathers called them at the same time. She felt something was not right.
"I'll pick you up after work,"
Rupert said with a deadpan expression. The two returned to the company. As soon as Annabelle returned to her seat, an excited Eve came over.
"Annabelle, your retaliation this morning was amazing. You exposed that shameless Nina."
Eve exclaimed in admiration. Annabelle smiled. She deserved it. Annabelle, why are you so calm? Do you know how popular you are on the internet now? Eve showed Annabelle her phone. Look. All of the top trending and most searched online posts are about you. Annabelle glanced at the screen. Sure enough, she saw the video of her performing CPR on Nina. Now, Annabelle was hailed as a beautiful girl of kindness. Most of them were discussing her relationship with Rupert. Annabelle is absolutely gorgeous. Rupert is undeniably dashing. They're a perfect match. I wholeheartedly support Annabelle and Rupert together. However, there were a few harsh comments as well. I heard Annabelle came from the countryside. She's nothing but a scheming bitch. She doesn't deserve Rupert. Annabelle rubbed her eyes. She went to the hospital today to just expose Nina's crime. Annabelle didn't expect Rupert to arrive and announce she was his fiancée in front of the reporters. Now the public's opinion on it spread like wildfire, which wasn't what she intended. After some thinking, Annabelle sent Anthony a message. Help me take down all of the trending and most searched posts about me. What's wrong, Ada? You're a stunner in those photos and that video alongside your handsome fiancé. Why would you want them taken down? Anthony said jokingly. I told you to take them down. Cut the crap. I'll give you half an hour. I don't want to see any news about me again. Yes, ma'am. Anthony replied. At the CEO office, Rupert squinted at his phone screen. The photo of him holding Annabelle was very clear. There were so many comments flooding it. Rupert beamed. He was so absorbed with browsing the news. But within a few minutes, all the trending news about Annabelle suddenly vanished. Chapter 93 Sexual Prowess. What was going on? Rupert frowned. He purposely allowed the media to report the news. He hadn't consented for it to be removed. The post was the most viewed one in history. No one in their right mind would want to take that down. After thinking for a while, Rupert called Finley and ordered him, find out who removed the most viral post about what I said and why. Yes, sir, Finley replied respectfully. He had just seen that the most viral post was taken down. It was so weird. To the best of his knowledge, his boss was the only one who could give the order for such a post to be taken down. Who could have done that? In less than 30 minutes, Annabelle received a message from Anthony. Ada, it is done. Annabelle replied with satisfaction, good. I knew you won't fail. If you don't mind me asking, is the news true? Are you Rupert's fiancé? I guess it's true. Only a man like that can control a woman like you, Anthony asked curiously. Mind the business that pays you, Anthony. Annabelle texted back sourly. What did he mean by Rupert was the only man who could control her? That was bullshit. No man could do that. With a frown, Annabelle put down her phone and went online on her laptop. Sure enough, there was no news about her. She then continued to work. The shooting of the Ice and Fire advertisement had been slowed down by Nina's problematic stunt. She had to hurry up the process. After making an appointment with Rory and Margot to shoot the advertisement again, she called Brett to set the date for the press conference. Everything was ready now. Once the commercial shooting was done, the new product would be launched officially. Time passed by without Annabelle noticing. It wasn't until Rupert's call came through that she finally turned away from her computer. Can we leave now? Rupert's voice came from the other end. Annabelle looked at the time and found that it was way past closing hour. Okay. Annabelle nodded. She didn't want to keep Bruce waiting. In the car, Rupert was behind the wheel. His eyes were fixed on the road. Sitting in the passenger seat, Annabelle looked out of the window. Suddenly, Rupert's phone rang. Finley was calling. After putting on the wireless earphone, Rupert answered the phone and asked in a low voice, "What's up?" "Sir, I just found out who took down the post," Finley said. "It was done by a famous hacker simply known as Anthony." "Anthony?" Rupert frowned. This person's identity was a mystery. Rupert had heard of him before.
Did you find out why he did it?
Rupert asked flatly.
No, sir. I'm still on it, Finley answered honestly.
I think he just wanted to show off.
Just continue investigating.
Something smelled fishy to Rupert. He narrowed his eyes and continued driving.
When Annabelle heard Anthony's name, she frowned subconsciously.
Why did Rupert have Anthony investigated?
Did he find out the connection between her and Anthony?
Was her other identity about to be exposed?
Annabelle held her breath, thinking Rupert might query her.
But he didn't. He just drove straight to his grandfather's house.
Before they could get into the house, Dolly came running toward them. It jumped in front of Annabelle and circled her while wagging its tail wildly.
Oh, you remember me?
Annabelle squatted and stroked Dolly's fur.
Woof. Woof. Woof.
Dolly barked, melting into her hand.
Anna, even Dolly misses you, Bruce said with a smile, stroking his beard.
You should come here more often. It seems like ages since I last saw you.
Okay, Grandpa.
Rupert uttered before Annabelle could say anything.
Annabelle was speechless.
When did he become her spokesman?
Why did he agree on her behalf?
Come on in.
Holding Dolly in his arms, Bruce ushered them in.
Anna, you sit down here for a while. Dinner will be ready soon.
Okay.
Annabelle nodded obediently.
You two will stay the night. No objections.
Bruce ordered, wagging his index finger slowly.
Earlier in the day, Bruce had been on the phone with Leonard.
The two old friends agreed that Annabelle and Rupert weren't getting closer as fast as they wanted.
They both decided that Bruce should keep a close eye on them and make a concerted effort to bring them closer.
Okay. Rupert agreed without hesitation.
Annabelle turned to look at him with wide eyes. How could he make such a decision without asking for her opinion?
Sir, dinner is ready, Jackson came over and announced respectfully.
Let's go to have dinner.
Bruce stood up and strode toward the dining room.
Rupert and Annabelle followed him and sat down at the table.
The table was filled with different kinds of dishes.
Annabelle looked down and found that the dishes in front of Rupert were a little special.
They seemed like libido-boosting dishes.
How strange.
What on earth was Bruce up to?
Just as Annabelle was pondering, Bruce picked a piece of meat and put it on Rupert's plate.
Rupert, you should eat more.
Rupert noticed it too.
The corner of his mouth twitched.
Was his grandfather kidding?
Did he need to eat it?
Upon seeing this, Annabelle chuckled and asked Rupert in a low voice, "Are you impotent or something?"
Rupert's face darkened.
How dare she question his sexual prowess?
You will find out soon, he muttered through gritted teeth.
Once they were done with dinner, Bruce took two of them to Rupert's room.
I'd rather stay in the guest room, Annabelle said, rubbing the space between her eyebrows.
That's not possible.
Bruce immediately disagreed with annoyance.
You have to stay here. All the other rooms are under renovation now. This is the only available room.
What?
Annabelle's shoulders slouched. She squinted at the old man.
How come all the rooms were being renovated at the same time, except this one?
Are you young people more conservative than an old man like me?
I'd like to think not.
Bruce almost pushed Annabelle into the room and locked the door from outside. He stroked his beard with a face-splitting smile as he walked away.
Those two will definitely fall in love after spending a night together.
Annabelle was stunned after getting locked in the room like a prisoner.
What was Bruce up to?
Suddenly, Rupert grabbed her and pressed her against the door. He ran his fingers through her hair as he lowered his head slowly.
With his lips to her ear, he whispered amorously, "Who raised doubts concerning my sexual prowess just now?"
Chapter 94. Tell me about Candy. The strong masculine cologne from Rupert enveloped Annabelle as he stared down at her with bright eyes.
Annabelle swallowed hard after thinking for a while.
Your grandpa did.
What?
Really?
Rupert uttered, raising his eyebrows.
Yeah.
Annabelle nodded in a hurry.
He asked you to eat all those dishes. Wasn't he trying to say that you were impotent?
How dare you say that?
Rupert's face darkened, but his eyes twinkled with increasing lust.
Maybe it was because of the food his grandfather fed him. His blood was boiling and he felt a throbbing pain down his groin.
At this moment, Annabelle was like a beautiful blossoming flower. He so wanted to pick her up.
Annabelle licked her dry lips, her eyes glistening with innocence.
I didn't say anything.
This move was tempting.
Rupert couldn't help pressing against her and lowering his head for a kiss.
Annabelle's heart began to pound so hard she could hear it.
Rupert's handsome face kept enlarging in front of her.
In the end, his lips fell on hers.
The strange warmness brought Annabelle back to her senses. She bit her lip and turned her face away. She pushed him away and said,
I'm going to take a shower.
She ran into the bathroom and locked the door behind her.
In no time, she was done showering.
It wasn't until she stood in front of the mirror in a towel that she realized something. She had no clothes to wear.
Rupert.
Annabelle.
Called out.
Rupert's voice came from the other side of the bathroom door.
What is it?
I don't have any clothes to wear. Please, can you go to Water Moon Community to get me something to wear?
Annabelle managed to say, cupping her burning cheeks with both hands.
Have you forgotten that Grandpa locked the door?
I can't teleport, you know, Rupert teased.
He's your grandpa. You should be able to convince him to let you out.
Annabelle got even more embarrassed.
I hate to break it to you, but that's not possible, Rupert responded faintly, knowing how stubborn his grandfather was.
Annabelle fell silent.
Just as she was about to call out for Bruce and plead with him, Rupert knocked and said in a charming voice,
"Open up.
What do you want?"
Annabelle asked vigilantly.
"Here are some clothes for you," Rupert replied.
"Clothes for her?"
Was that a trick just to get her to open the door?
Grabbing the hairdryer for self-defense, Annabelle cautiously opened the door.
Rupert gave her a bag. She shut the door again and opened the bag on the washstand.
There were indeed clothes inside.
There was a new set of women's underwear and a clean white shirt.
Why is the shirt so big, like it belongs to a man?
Is it Rupert's?
Annabelle muttered to herself.
A strange thought made her frown deeply. How come he had a new set of women's underwear?
Did that mean he often brought girls over here?
Annabelle got dressed reluctantly and finally walked out.
The moment she stepped into the bedroom, she took Rupert's breath away.
A touch of passion glimmered in his eyes. He gawked at the woman in front of him.
She hadn't dried her hair, so water was dripping from it.
His shirt looked oddly good on her, partly hiding her curvaceous figure. Her long legs were incredibly sexy.
Rupert swallowed hard.
How come you have a set of women's underwear at home?
Annabelle blushed under his gaze. She tried to strike up a conversation to distract him.
Do you often bring women here?
Huh?
Are you jealous?
Rupert teased, rubbing his chin.
Answer the question.
Annabelle said seriously.
Rupert cleared his throat and said, I know nothing about that. I just saw it on the sofa. Grandpa must have asked some maid to prepare it for you.
How thoughtful of Bruce.
Annabelle was rendered speechless.
I'm tired. I want to go to bed early, Annabelle said in a serious tone, looking at the king-sized bed in the middle of the room.
I'll sleep in the bed. You can sleep on the sofa.
No way.
Rupert refused coldly.
I can't sleep on that small sofa. I'm used to sleeping in a soft and comfortable bed.
Fine, I'll sleep on the sofa then.
With that, Annabelle walked to the sofa.
Suddenly, Rupert pulled her back before she could lie there.
You are a guest here. How can I allow you to sleep on the sofa?
Annabelle lost balance and crashed into his hard rock chest. She immediately straightened up and glared at him.
Then what do you suggest we do?
Isn't it obvious?
Let's sleep in the bed together, Rupert whispered with a smirk.
Before Annabelle knew what was happening, he lifted her with one hand.
Hey, Rupert, what are you doing?
Put me down.
Annabel struggled, slapping his chest. Was this man crazy?
Okay.
Rupert did put her down, but on the bed. He leaned forward and said slowly, "Do you want me to show you what I'm capable of?
Don't even dare. If you take advantage of me again, I'll teach you a lesson you would never forget."
Annabel tried to get up, but Rupert pushed her down. She shot him a fiery glare. Rupert wanted to tease her to no end, but when he saw how angry she looked, he raised his hands in surrender and stood up. With a lingering fear, Annabel scuttled to a corner of the bed and leaned on the headboard, all the while glaring at him.
"Don't come close to me."
Rupert looked a little sad. He sat on the bed and turned to look at her.
"Annabel, have you ever considered your grandfather's suggestion?"
"What?"
Annabel was stunned.
Rupert looked serious.
"Don't you think we should try to work on our relationship?"
In the past, Rupert thought Annabel was one of the many gold diggers who wanted to be with him for money. He thought she and Leonard got into his grandfather's head so they could milk the Benton family. But with time, he realized that he was wrong. Not only did Annabel not give a damn about his money, but she was also an independent woman. She worked hard to earn a living, unlike the leeches he met in the past. He constantly found himself ogling at her. She was gorgeous. And for some reason, he always wanted to protect her even if he meant endangering himself. Looking into Rupert's serious eyes, Annabel took a deep breath and said calmly, "I have a question for you, Rupert."
"Okay, shoot."
Rupert was stunned for a moment. Annabel suppressed all kinds of complex emotions in her heart and said, "Can you tell me about Candy?"
"Candy?"
The twinkle in Rupert's eyes turned dim. He realized he hadn't thought of Candy as he used to in recent times. After a while, Rupert asked, "What exactly do you want to know?"
"You love Candy, don't you?"
Annabel inquired without beating around the bush. Chapter 95 Annabel and Candy. Rupert fell silent. He opened the bedside table drawer, selected a cigar, and then lit it with a lighter. As he sat and smoked, a cloud of smoke gathered around him. His expression was cold, and there was a touch of sadness in his frown. He continued to smoke until the cigar was entirely spent.
"Candy, she was with me when I was kidnapped as a child."
"Kidnapped?"
Annabel frowned.
If she remembered correctly, Rupert had mentioned kidnapping several times before.
"Annabel, have you ever been kidnapped?"
At the time, Annabel had thought the questions were strange and rude. But now, she wondered if he thought as Candy or a substitute for Candy. Rupert's expression turned dark as he remembered what had happened when he was young. "The kidnappers wanted me, and Candy was just in the wrong place at the wrong time. We were locked up in a cabin somewhere. We spent a few days in the dark together."
"How did you escape?"
Annabel asked in a voice that was deep with emotion. For some reason, she wanted to know what Rupert and Candy shared. Rupert's handsome face crumpled as he answered, "Candy fell off a cliff to save me." He didn't want to recall the past. It was too painful. He had been powerless to save Candy. All he could do was watch as she disappeared into the abyss. Candy was never heard from again, but he hadn't given up hope that she had survived. He had been looking for her ever since but found nothing. Annabel fell silent. Rupert's past with Candy was more tragic than she had imagined. Candy had fallen off a cliff to save him. Maybe she was dead. No wonder Rupert couldn't forget her.
"Do I look like Candy?"
Annabel suddenly asked. Rupert was stunned. Back then, Candy was just a little girl. Moreover, they were trapped in darkness. His memory of what she looked like as a child was vague. What he remembered about Candy was the warm feeling she gave him. That was unforgettable. When he and Annabel were alone, it seemed like Annabel was Candy, but not because there was a physical resemblance. It was because Annabel had the same faint fragrance and gave him the same warm feeling.
"You are similar," Rupert admitted.
Annabel felt inexplicably uncomfortable. She finally understood why Rupert had taken such drastic action to protect her in the past, like when he stepped in front of a knife for her,
or when he did his best to help her when she was framed by Nina.
Just now, he asked, don't you think we should try to work on our relationship?
It was all because she looked like candy.
Annabelle took some deep breaths and thought hard about her situation. She looked at the man beside her and said coldly, Rupert, listen, I'm Annabelle. I'm my own person. There is only one of me in the world. I'm not a replacement for Candy. My future husband must love me wholeheartedly. I won't marry someone who sees me as a substitute. So, it's impossible for us to be together.
Annabelle grabbed the blanket off the bed as she got up and went straight to the sofa to lay down. The firmness of her tone echoed in Rupert's ears. As he watched her march to the sofa without hesitation, he considered the complex emotions he had for her. He didn't know whether or not it was because of Candy that he fell in love with Annabelle, but he did know for certain that at this moment, his heart belonged to Annabelle. It was late at night. Annabelle tossed and turned on the sofa, unable to stop thinking about the last month with Rupert. He truly was an exceptional man. Just as her grandfather had promised. He was talented, handsome, capable, and respectable. He was considered the most powerful man in the city. However, his heart already belonged to his childhood love, Candy. Annabelle was always a perfectionist, especially when it came to love. She would never be someone's substitute. Rupert would always love Candy more, therefore, they couldn't be together. Both Annabelle and Rupert had a sleepless night. Dawn broke, and Annabelle rose from the sofa with dark circles around her eyes. Rupert's handsome face also showed signs of his sleepless night. Bruce was in a good mood this morning and noticed that both looked tired when he opened the door for them. None of the dishes went to waste, Bruce murmured. You should control yourselves, Bruce said with an ambiguous smile. Annabelle was speechless. What was on Bruce's mind? When Annabelle arrived at the company, she was still thinking about the story about Rupert and Candy. If Candy was the woman Rupert loved, Annabelle would help him find her. She sent a message to Anthony. Help me investigate someone. Anthony replied quickly, who? A girl who was kidnapped with Rupert 10 years ago. Her nickname is Candy. 10 years ago? Don't you have any other information? Anything else? Annabelle replied, that's all I know. Get back to me as soon as possible. Anthony was helpless. Okay. Annabelle was very satisfied with Anthony's ability. In the past, he had always been quick to complete any task she assigned him. But this time, Anthony didn't reply for a long time. Annabelle waited until it was late at night before calling him. How is it going with the thing I asked you to investigate? I can't find anything. Annabelle was stunned. Nothing could be found? How could was that possible? Anthony was one of the best. How could he not have found anything? I'm sorry, Ada. I tried my best, but, I really can't find anything. There were traces of guilt and self-doubt in his voice. Maybe it's because I'm not skilled enough. Ada, maybe you should try. Okay, I see. Annabelle hung up the phone and frowned. What kind of girl was Candy? What happened that day, and where was she now? Most of all, why couldn't Anthony find any information about her? Chapter 96 Plagiarized. Annabelle should have expected this result. If it was that easy, Rupert would have found Candy years ago. But why was she so difficult to find? What happened to Candy after she fell off that cliff? Regardless if Candy was alive or dead, there would have been some clues, some evidence that she had existed. How could she disappear completely like this? Annabelle couldn't figure it out, and she had no more leads to follow. She would have to put it aside for the time being. Over the next few days, Annabelle immersed herself in work and soon finished the ice and fire shoot. A press conference would be held a few days later, and the Ice and Fire collection would officially be launched. Annabelle was confident that she could make Ice and Fire instantly popular, thus making Benton Group the leading jeweler in the industry. But 2 days before the press conference, an accident happened. Annabelle was at work early that morning, making final preparations for the press conference,
when a news alert popped up on her phone and drew her attention. Love Jewelry was about to launch a new collection with a creative feature, Let Yourself Go. Let Yourself Go? Annabelle clicked to read the main article. Love Jewelry, this country's leading jeweler, has hired Marilyn Diaz, a world-famous jewelry designer. This collaboration has produced an incredible new collection, Let Yourself Go, which is set to launch. All of the pieces change color depending on the light they are exposed to, allowing women to express themselves as never before. Imagine showing up to any party and dazzling people with your color-changing gems. Annabelle quickly browsed the rest of the news about the upcoming launch of Let Yourself Go. The jewelry was similar to her design, and the gems also changed color according to the color of light shown on them. It was Annabelle's idea, and the biggest promotional feature of the Ice and Fire collection. Unfortunately, the public didn't know this. In order to create a sensation, Benton Group had kept the color-changing gems a secret. The plan had been for Annabelle to reveal that feature at the press conference to announce the launch of Ice and Fire. But now, someone had launched it first. Obviously, Love Jewelry had stolen her design. They were the leading jeweler domestically, and therefore well known. They had enjoyed a comfortable monopoly in their industry that ended when Benton Group arrived. Annabelle was sure that if the launch of Ice and Fire went as planned, it would put Benton Group ahead of Love Jewelry. There was a lot at stake, so Annabelle wasn't terribly surprised by Love Jewelry's plagiarism. What did catch her off guard was the fact that someone as renowned as Marilyn would do such a thing. Just then, Rupert called. Come to my office. Annabelle agreed. After the night when everything had been made clear with Rupert, she was much more comfortable facing him again. Did you see today's news about Love Jewelry? Rupert asked in a deep voice as he leaned back in his chair. Yes, I did, Annabelle said with a nod. Rupert frowned. How did this happen? Annabelle pursed her lips and said, if I told you that Marilyn plagiarized my design, would you believe me? Yes, I would, Rupert replied with hesitation. He trusted her unconditionally, which warmed Annabelle's heart. But the current situation is a problem for Benton Group. Rupert tapped his knuckles on the table, filling the room with an inexplicable sense of oppression. I know. Annabelle rubbed the spot between her eyebrows. Love Jewelry launched this design online as their own. When our press conference happens 2 days from now, everyone will think we're the ones who plagiarized. It didn't matter that Love Jewelry had only released a few design drawings and descriptions of their new collection's features because their announcement preempted Benton Group's. It was only natural for the public to assume that the company who announced a new product first was the original designer. This had obviously been planned as a strike at Benton Group. However, there was one thing that Annabelle didn't understand. How did Marilyn get her design idea? Was there a spy in Benton Group? Rupert had the same thought. He smiled and said, I'll do my best to find out how and why your design was stolen, but the press conference needs to be postponed. The press conference needed to wait until there was solid evidence. If it happened before then, the reputation of Benton Group would be damaged. There's no need to postpone, Annabelle said indifferently. Rupert gave Annabelle a surprised look. Annabelle smiled. If you trust me, don't postpone the press conference. Again, Rupert replied without hesitation, then you will be in charge of the press conference. No problem, Annabelle said, pursing her lips. The moment she left the CEO's office, she spotted Bernice coming toward her with an aggressive look. Annabelle, you plagiarized. Bernice scolded Annabelle rudely. Did you witness this? Annabelle asked coldly. Bernice slammed a newspaper on the table. Look, your Ice and Fire is a copy of Marilyn's design. Annabelle glanced over the newspaper. It was the same as the article she had read on her phone. Even Bernice thought she was the one who had plagiarized. I didn't plagiarize, Annabelle said. Annabelle, the truth is in front of you. Why are you arguing? Do you understand how much trouble you've brought this company? Bernice raised her voice in the hopes that more people would hear and spread the word.
As the director of the design department, her previous design had been harshly criticized by Annabelle, causing her to lose face in front of Rupert. Annabelle even ignored the design department's work and went straight to Brett with the ice and fire design, which also thrilled Rupert. Annabelle was an outsider, so how could she be exceptionally capable? It turned out that she plagiarized Marilyn's work. "I don't know if the company is in trouble, but I think you may be in trouble," Annabelle said with an ironic smile. Bernice was stunned. "What trouble am I in? You're the director of the design department, but you can't tell the originals from the plagiarized versions. Doesn't that make you feel ashamed?" Annabelle replied, still smiling. Chapter 97 Your dinner, what do you mean by that? Bernice demanded, becoming even angrier. How could Annabelle mock her in front of their colleagues? Exactly what I said, Annabelle responded with casual indifference. Stop denying it. It's a fact that you plagiarized. Bernice raised her voice, wishing the whole world could hear and know that Annabelle was a fraud. In the beginning, only a few people were privy to the design for ice and fire. Now, everyone in the secretary department heard Bernice. They began looking doubtfully at Annabelle. Marilyn was famous for her designs, and Annabelle was just an unknown secretary who came from the countryside. How could she know jewelry design? She must have taken the risk to get herself promoted. Annabelle faced the doubtful eyes of her colleagues with a relaxed expression. Is that all, Bernice? If there's nothing else, you should go back to work. This madness isn't welcome. What? I'm not crazy. I can't believe you dare to even suggest it. Bernice was furious. Annabelle was still calm. Did I say that? You're the one who said crazy. You bitch. Bernice was so angry that her facial muscles were twitching. She took a few deep breaths and told herself to calm down. After all, her goal was to publicly expose Annabelle's plagiarism. With her mind refocused, Bernice snorted and asked, "What's with your attitude? Do you feel it's reasonable to plagiarize? If my memory serves me right, Ice and Fire will be launched in 2 days on a press conference. Are you planning to create a scandal?" "Don't worry, Bernice. The design department isn't expected to get involved with the press conference. If you have time to spare, see about improving your department," Annabelle said sarcastically. Bernice's expression became even more twisted with rage. "I have never known someone so shameless. Everyone can see that you're guilty of plagiarism, and you don't even have the decency to admit it. I'm going to inform Mr. Benton of the situation and ask him to cancel the press conference." "Rupert gave me full authority over the press conference," Annabelle said with restrained delight. "Impossible." Bernice sneered. She didn't believe that Rupert could have missed the news about Love Jewelry. As long as he saw it, he would know that Annabelle was a plagiarist. There was no way he would let the press conference continue, let alone give Annabelle authority over it. "Believe it or don't, but it's the truth." Annabelle was growing exhausted with Bernice and her petty rivalry. There was a lot of work to be done in preparation for the press conference, and she wanted to get started. Bernice was simply wasting her time. There was obvious hostility in Bernice's tone as she said, "You think too highly of yourself, Annabelle. Why would Mr. Benton give authority to a proven thief?" Annabelle frowned and was about to respond when a familiar male voice said, "I left the press conference to Annabelle. Do you have a problem with my decision?" Annabelle turned and saw Rupert approaching. "Shouldn't you people be working?" Rupert said coldly to the crowd that had gathered around Bernice and Annabelle. The startled employees quickly ceased their chatter and returned to their desks. "Mr. Benton," Bernice said, stepping closer to Rupert. "Haven't you seen the news about Love Jewelry's new collection? Their design is identical to Annabelle's." "So what?" Rupert asked with a frown. "So what?" Bernice was stunned by his response. Annabelle was clearly a plagiarist. Why hadn't she been fired? But Annabelle plagiarized the design for Ice and Fire. It was morally wrong, and she has created a scandal for this company, Bernice said,
assuming that Rupert didn't thoroughly understand the situation. She found the design drawings of Love Jewelry's new collection online to better display their similarity to the Ice and Fire collection. Here, here, and here. These pieces are almost identical to Ice and Fire pieces. The fact that they also change color is solid proof that Annabelle stole Marilyn's ideas. Rupert held Bernice in a cold stare and asked, "Isn't it possible that Marilyn stole Annabelle's ideas? What makes you so certain that Annabelle is the plagiarist?"
"Marilyn stole Annabelle's ideas. That was impossible."
Bernice bit her lip and said, "Marilyn is one of the top designers in the industry. She's won awards for her designs. Why would she steal an outsider's ideas?"
"Well, it has nothing to do with you."
Rupert pulled his tie impatiently. Bernice couldn't believe what she was hearing, but she held her tongue. Why did Rupert support Annabelle when the facts against her were clear? If the press conference wasn't cancelled, she was afraid that Benton Group would become a joke within the industry. Determined not to give up, Bernice left the secretary department and headed for the sanctuary of the design department. On the way, she bumped into someone by accident. It was Cody, the vice president of the company.
"Sorry about that," Bernice hurriedly apologized.
"What's wrong?" Cody asked with a slight frown.
"What happened?"
Bernice retold the story of Annabelle's plagiarism and the press conference that had not yet been cancelled. "I don't understand what there is between Annabelle and Mr. Benton. Why does he have so much faith in her? He saw the news, but he still wants to go through with the press conference for Ice and Fire. It's obvious that they want to embarrass the company, right?"
Bernice paused for a moment before continuing, "Sir, you are the founding member of the company. You have to be fair."
Cody sighed. "Nowadays, Rupert controls the company. I'm an old fart." After Bernice left, Annabelle returned the staggering amount of work she had left to do. The press conference had to go well. Benton Group's reputation was at stake. Without Annabelle knowing, it was time to get off work.
"Let's go back," Rupert said, calling from his office. She glanced at her watch and said, "I'll work overtime. You can leave."
"Okay." Rupert hung up the phone. It was getting late, and Annabelle was still working. Suddenly, she heard familiar footsteps. She didn't need to look to know that it was Rupert.
"Didn't you go back?"
Annabelle asked in surprise. Rupert was holding a lunchbox. He put it on her desk before leaning close to say, "I brought you dinner."
"Dinner?"
It occurred to Annabelle that she hadn't eaten yet that evening. But how did Rupert know that she hadn't had dinner yet? And he even brought her dinner in person. Chapter 98. Candy was afraid of darkness. "Open it," Rupert smiled and said in a tender voice. Annabelle opened the lunchbox and was greeted with the fragrance of the food. The lunchbox was filled with all her favorite dishes.
"Where did you get this?"
Annabelle sniffed appreciatively. She had been so lost in her work that she had forgotten to have dinner. As soon as she caught scent of the food, her stomach rumbled. Rupert watched her with a smile. His thin lips quirked up slightly as he replied, "I cooked for you." He knew that once Annabelle started working, dinner would slip her mind. After work, he went back home to cook dinner himself and returned to the company to deliver it to her. Warmth coursed through Annabelle's body. She smiled and said, "Thank you.
Taste it."
Rupert sat down next to Annabelle and watched her wolf down the food. He couldn't stop the soft smile that lit up his face.
"It's delicious."
Annabelle nodded and praised the food truthfully. Her phone rang at that moment. She looked down and saw that Rory was calling her. When Rupert saw the name Rory on Annabelle's phone screen, his handsome face darkened. Annabelle ignored Rupert and answered the phone.
"Rory, what's the matter?"
"Hi, Annabelle." Rory's voice brimmed with concern. "I saw the news about Love Jewelry today. I know it's put you in a bad spot. But don't worry. I will testify on your behalf to prove that you didn't plagiarize the designs." When Rory was shooting the advertisement, the samples of Ice and Fire pieces were used in the shoot. As a result, he could prove that the samples were produced long before yesterday, when the news about Love Jewelry came out.
Brett, Margot, and the others could also testify. But Love Jewelry would consider this and prepare themselves thoroughly to attack Benton Group. Annabelle knew it would not be so easy to prove Love Jewelry's plagiarism at the press conference that would be held in 2 days. With a small smile, she said, "Thank you. I can take care of it myself. Right now, I'm more concerned about how my design was leaked." Not many people knew about the Ice and Fire collection, but they weren't just a handful either. Bernice, Brett, and his assistant, the photographer, the spokespeople, and even some senior leaders of the company had seen the Ice and Fire samples. In other words, any of these people might be responsible for leaking the design concepts of Ice and Fire. "Who do you suspect it was?" Rory asked. Sensing the displeasure of the man next to her, Annabelle narrowed her eyes and replied, "I don't know." After disconnecting the call, Annabelle smiled and turned to Rupert. "Rupert, who do you think leaked the information?" Rupert answered, "I've asked Finley to investigate. We will see some results soon." Annabelle nodded and stopped pursuing the topic. After finishing dinner, she wanted to continue working, but Rupert insisted on taking her home. "You're not feeling well. Come back and rest properly," Rupert said in an irrefutable tone. Annabelle felt helpless. If she didn't go, Rupert would also stay at the office. However, she couldn't work with him hovering around her. So she was left with no choice but to go home with him. They entered the elevator and the doors closed behind them. As soon as Annabelle pushed the button for the first floor, a sizzling sound came from the light in the ceiling of the elevator. It flickered a few times, and then the elevator was plunged into darkness. Ah! Annabelle couldn't stop the scream that escaped her lips. She had been terrified of darkness since childhood. When the lights went out, intense fear crept over Annabelle. She crouched on the floor. Some memory fragments flashed in her mind, but she couldn't make sense of them. Just as Annabelle was certain the fear would swallow her completely, she heard Rupert's captivating voice. "Don't be scared." Rupert reached out and wrapped his strong arms around Annabelle without hesitation. He pressed his thin lips against her ear and whispered, "Don't be scared. I'm here with you." His voice felt like a beam of light in the darkness, giving Annabelle infinite warmth. The cloud of fear and despair around her heart instantly dissipated. Leaning into Rupert's chest, Annabelle felt immeasurably relieved. "What happened?" Annabelle asked after taking a few deep breaths to calm herself down. "Something must be wrong with the elevator," Rupert said with furrowed eyebrows. He took out his phone and turned on its flashlight. "What should we do now?" Annabelle leaned deeper into Rupert's embrace. Would she be trapped in this dark elevator for the rest of the night? Noticing how reliant on him the woman in his arms was, Rupert grinned cheerfully. He hadn't expected the strong and independent Annabelle to have this vulnerable side too. Annabelle's vulnerable side made Rupert eager to protect her. Rupert held her tightly in his arms, inhaling her subtle scent. He felt a familiar sensation again. Were Annabelle and Candy really two different people? Why did he feel that they were so similar? Seeing that Rupert stayed quiet but continued holding her tightly, Annabelle looked up and asked, "Rupert." This brought him back to his senses. "I'll call the security guard and tell him to find someone to repair the elevator." Soon, a maintenance worker came and fixed the elevator. The light came back on and everything looked bright again. "Are you okay?" Rupert watched the woman in his arms. It was only then that Annabelle realized she was leaning against Rupert's chest. Even worse, she had her hands around his neck. The position was so misleading. Feeling embarrassed, Annabelle let go of Rupert and apologized, "I'm afraid of darkness, so..." Rupert stared at Annabelle carefully and said, "Candy was also terrified of the darkness." "Candy?" Annabelle was stunned. "So, Rupert thought she was Candy again?" Pursing her lips, she was about to retort when she heard Rupert asking, "Annabelle, are you really not Candy?" Chapter 99 Amazing Annabelle. "Of course not." Annabelle pushed Rupert away. "Rupert, I've already made it clear that I'm not Candy,
and I refuse to be thought of as her replacement." Rupert was frustrated, but he didn't force the situation. "Let's go back," he said, nodding expressionlessly. Brett was in a private room at Charming Bar. He liked to be out of the public eye when he drank with his friends. Annie had followed him without his knowledge. "Brett." Annie opened the door and entered without waiting for permission. Brett frowned slightly and asked, "What are you doing here?"
"Brett, why are you avoiding me?"
Annie asked in an aggrieved tone as she took a seat next to him. "You don't answer my calls, and when I go to the hotel to look for you, you're never there."
"We broke up," Brett responded coldly.
"Brett, are you so heartless?" Annie leaned against Brett. "Have you forgotten the happy memories we made? You said you'd love me I forever. You can't be that cruel."
Brett pushed Annie away impatiently.
"Annie, this is the last time I'm going to remind you that we broke up."
"But why, Brett? Why are you being so cruel to me?"
Annie asked the handsome man before her with red eyes. She would not accept his decision. Their relationship was just getting started. He couldn't break up with her now, it was too cruel. It was all Annabelle's fault. If Annabelle hadn't exposed her, Brett never would have dumped her.
"Annie, I don't want to see you again," Brett said coldly, shrugging her off as he stood to leave. He didn't look back.
Annie ran after him and caught his arm.
"Brett, please don't do this. Give us another chance. Please, I still love you. We can go back to how things were before."
"Enough.
Stop following me,"
Brett demanded. He wrenched his arm free and left, feeling greatly annoyed. Annie lost her balance and fell heavily to the floor. Heather and Bella had just entered the bar.
"Isn't that Annie?"
Heather asked.
Bella nodded.
"Yes, why is she on the floor?"
"Hopefully she's dying of embarrassment," Heather commented viciously.
Bella paused before asking, "Heather, do you mean?
Let's go and see, shall we?" said Heather with a growing smile.
Annie was about to stand when a woman suddenly appeared and asked, "Annie, are you all right?" Annie raised her head and saw Heather offering her a hand.
"Thank you. I'm fine."
Annie accepted Heather's assistance and stood. Bella stepped forward and asked with feigned concern, "What happened to you, Annie? Why are you such a mess?" The thought of Brett's heartless brought tears to Annie's eyes.
"Brett broke up with me."
"Why?" Heather asked, though she already knew the answer.
"It's all because of Annabelle."
Annie grit her teeth. "If she'd never shown her face, Brett wouldn't have broken up with me."
"What?
Annabelle again?"
Bella pretended to be surprised.
"Seducing men is her specialty. It's too easy for her, and I don't think she takes any man seriously. She's nothing but a slut. Getting even should be easy. You just need to show Brett what Annabelle is really like, and he'll come back to you."
"You're right."
Jealous resentment flashed through Annie's eyes.
"Annabelle, you won't get away with what you've done to me."
Heather smiled triumphantly and pretended something had just occurred to her. "Benton Group plans to launch the Ice and Fire collection at a press conference 2 days from now, right? I heard Annabelle is responsible for organizing it."
Annie clenched her fists and grit her teeth.
"In 2 days, Annabelle. You'll see. And Brett will see you for what you really are." The days before the press conference passed quickly. Annabelle rose early to ensure that she would not be rushed. After washing and dressing, she went downstairs to the living room and saw Rupert sitting on the sofa. He was dressed in a suit and his hair was meticulously combed. He was so handsome that no one would be able to take their eyes off him.
"Good morning," Rupert said when he spotted Annabelle.
They had breakfast, then got in Rupert's car. Annabelle was surprised when she noticed that he wasn't driving to Benton Group.
"Aren't we going to the company?"
Annabelle asked, looking out the window and trying to guess his intended destination.
"No."
"Well, then, where are we going?"
Annabelle was curious.
The press conference was scheduled for the afternoon.
Where was Rupert taking her now?
Rupert gave her a side glance and said, "You'll know when we get there."
10 minutes later, Rupert parked his car in front of a salon.
"Here we are."
Annabel got out and considered the salon's golden sign.
It read, "Anna Studio."
Anna Studio was a high-end salon that catered to the elite who wanted a one-stop shop to completely beautify themselves. Here, women could get her clothing chosen and her hair and makeup done by the best stylists in the business. The moment Rupert was out of his car, the manager came to greet him.
"Mr. Benton, this way, please.
Let's go." Rupert looked at Annabel with a smile.
"Miss Hewitt, this way, please. We are ready," the manager said with a smile.
Now Annabel understood why Rupert had brought her here. He had made an appointment for her in preparation for the press conference. Perhaps he was more concerned about this afternoon than he was letting on. Annabel nodded and followed the manager into the dressing room. When Annabel came out again, everyone was amazed. Rupert couldn't stop staring at her. The red dress that Annabel wore had a vest top which greatly flattered her chest. Just enough of her porcelain skin was visible to be alluring yet elegant. Her long hair was draped over her shoulders in a particularly attractive fashion. She was dazzling.
"Do you like it?"
Annabel asked Rupert when she noticed him staring at her.
"You're so beautiful," he answering, coming back to his senses.
The press conference began at 2 o'clock. It was being held in a luxurious conference room on the 18th floor of the Benton Group building. Annabel reviewed the preparations once more. Everything was ready. She looked at her watch and saw that it was 10 minutes to 2. In 10 minutes, the press conference would start. Besides the press, there would be many attendees from influential families. The guest list included Margot, Rory, and many VIPs in the jewelry business. Of course, as CEO of Benton Group, Rupert would also be there. It was obvious that Benton Group attached great importance to this press conference. Meanwhile, the journalists scrambled for the best seats in the room. They were all excited for the press conference to begin, and all of them feared missing out on breaking news. The press conference began on time, and at exactly 2 o'clock, Annabel appeared on stage. Chapter 100 Plagiarism Accusation. This was an exciting moment. Everyone was looking forward to the official beginning of the press conference. Radiating confidence, Annabel walked up the stage majestically. The spotlight was on her now.
"Good day, ladies and gentlemen. On behalf of Benton Group, I'd like to welcome you all to the launch of the Ice and Fire jewelry."
Annabel cleared her throat and said into the microphone. A thunderous applause came from the audience. Heather, who was seated somewhere in the crowd, didn't look pleased like the rest of the guests. Her eyes sparkled with envy as she stared at the elegant woman on the stage. It had taken her some time to convince her brother to bring her to this conference. She came with the sole purpose of dealing with Annabel once she got the chance.
"Bitch, I'll teach you a lesson tonight," Heather muttered to herself, gnashing her teeth.
After the clapping subsided, Annabel continued, "The Ice and Fire Jewelry Series is a grand series done by Benton Group in the third quarter. As the name depicts, the theme for this collection is Ice and Fire. You all must be wondering what that means and why we chose that theme. Not to worry. You will soon find out. Let's take a look at the promotional film." Annabel signaled the technical staff. In the promotional film, Margot, in a white dress and the new Ice and Fire Jewelry Series, walked gracefully toward Rory. Under the milky white light, the jewelry shone brightly, making Margot look like a pure ice fairy. But once the light became warmer and dim, the light from the jewelry changed from white to red, almost like a blazing fire. It changed how Margot looked. From being an ice fairy, she became the queen of fire, who looked dazzling and bold at the same time. The guests gasped in awe as their eyes were glued to the screen. Some began to praise it.
"Wow, it's so beautiful. I have never seen anything like it." "Well, I have."
Someone suddenly uttered with uncertainty. "Isn't this the same as the Let Yourself Go jewelry series?" Many people immediately began to whisper.
"Oh,
I can see the striking resemblance. It's really the Love Jewelry's Let Yourself Go design. Why did Benton Group use the same design?
Oh, my. Does that mean they plagiarized? This is unbelievable.
Benton Group stole someone else's work?
How shameful.
Once the promotional film ended, a reporter stood up and asked boldly, "While I admit that the concept of the Ice and Fire series is amazing, I can't help but notice that it's the same idea as Love Jewelry's Let Yourself Go series. It seems Benton Group stole that idea. What do you have to say about this?"
Annabelle cast a cold glance at the reporter, a woman who looked like she was in her early 20s. Only experienced senior reporters were sent to cover press conferences held by top companies like Benton Group. But here this young woman was, in the midst of many senior reporters from other media houses. Something smelled fishy. Perhaps Love Jewelry had a hand in this. In the face of this brewing antagonism, Annabelle still smiled calmly.
"First and foremost, I'd like to remind you to mind your language. If you continue to make malicious and unfounded accusations about Benton Group, we will have to take legal action against you and your employer." The reporter had come prepared.
"Oh, pardon me. I didn't mean to offend you. I just asked the question that was on the mind of every other reporter here. Why is the Ice and Fire series the same as the series by Love Jewelry? Can you answer that, please?"
With a graceful smile, Annabelle said, "As you all know, the Let Yourself Go series was only launched 2 days ago. The samples of the Ice and Fire series were produced earlier than that."
"What are you trying to say? Do you have proof that the Ice and Fire series was designed earlier than Let Yourself Go?"
the reporter inquired aggressively.
Annabelle said, "Benton Group's promotional film was shot 3 days ago, and the samples were completed a week ago. Many of those involved in this project can prove it, including the male model you just watched in the promotional film."
"Yes, I can prove it."
Rory stood up from the high table. He took the microphone before him and spoke seriously. "I was invited to be the model for the advertisement a week ago. At that time, Annabelle showed me the samples for the series. Mr. Brett McCoy was also present then." Rory was a popular actor, so his words were credible. The opinions of the audience gradually changed in favor of Benton Group. Annabelle continued, "It goes without saying that the samples were completed more than a week ago. Since many of you are conversant with how things work in the jewelry industry, you should know that it takes at least 2 weeks for a design to be produced into a sample. Love Jewelry pushed out their latest series only 2 days ago without an early announcement. How could Benton Group have copied them in just 2 days?"
"Annabelle is right."
Brett also stood up. "I can also prove that Ice and Fire was already in the works and ready long before Let Yourself Go. More than 2 weeks ago, Annabelle showed me the design for the new series." With a dismissive flick of her wrist, Annabelle said seriously, "Benton Group wasn't built yesterday. The company is known for its uniqueness and top-notch quality every time. We would never steal or copy anyone's work."
"Don't you think you are being too absolute?"
The reporter didn't back down. "It's common knowledge that Brett McCoy is a partner of Benton Group and that the Ice and Fire series was done in collaboration with him. I'm afraid his words aren't credible. As for Rory Kelly, it has been reported that he grew up with Rupert Benton. They are close, so it's not surprising that he wants to help his friend's company." After pausing to let the doubts of the others grow again, the reporter continued, "It's obvious the two of them are favoring Benton Group. Even a blind man can see that your company stole Love Jewelry's design. Aren't you going to own up to it?"
"Watch your mouth."
Annabelle fired with a deep frown. "Since you are so adamant, you should watch the video provided by the cops." The drowning incident at Lover Lake happened on the same day as the shoot for the advertisement. After Kathy called the cops, they interviewed some people, including Margot. Margot was wearing the Ice and Fire jewelry, so it was shown in the police's recording. Once the video finished playing, Annabelle turned to the reporter and flashed her a sarcastic smile.
"What do you have to say now? You aren't going to say that the cops are favoring Benton Group, are you?"
The reporter was rendered speechless.
There's nothing left to be said about this matter. I'd leave it to everyone to make their judgment. Those who have eyes and brains will know what is right, Annabelle uttered, smiling faintly. Another reporter sprang up and asked, now that it has been proven that Ice and Fire was done before the Let Yourself Go series, is that to say that Love Jewelry stole your company's design? What are you going to do about that? It's not a given, but we can't rule out the possibility. Benton Group will investigate before taking any action, Annabelle responded. My design was published in a fashion magazine 2 months ago. An angry female voice came from the door of the room.